Welcome to Primrose Lane Podcast 9, the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the psychological thriller film, Primrose Lane, and the continuing episodic series, The Passage. I'm the filmmaker, Kathleen Davison, and I am so honored to be joined in studio today with not one, but two paranormal specialists, Pamela Beatty, my usual co-host, and Chris Turner. Hello.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Kathleen.
All right.
Hi, Chris.
I kind of like lagged that one down.
Yeah, I felt like the Waltons there. Good night, Chris.
Good night.
Now, if you're just tuning in, we got to tell you to stop. Go to Primrose Lane Movie on Facebook. Scroll down into the comments and tune into the episodes and podcasts one by one from the beginning, because this is a serial story we're telling you, and you will ruin it, spoil it for yourself if you jump ahead. All right. For those of you who are sticking with us, I left off in the last episode talking about contacting paranormal specialists following my brain tumor surgery, that there was a significant spike of activity in the house. And finally, after years of this, we went looking for some outside opinions. And we contacted Pamela, and she brought in a partner. And I'm going to let Pamela talk a little bit about what she brought to the mix, what her partner Patty brought to the mix, and just a little bit about their process.
Okay. Well, I am what I bring to the mix is I'm an empath. I think that's the most important thing. And a spirit medium. So you combine those two, and I don't just see them, but I feel them and I hear them. And anything that's in the house. So the main thing for me is feeling them. So and I relive moments in time because I'm also a past life therapist. So I could hear the people and spirits that were in the house, as well as knowing where they came from, because I could see where they came from at what point in time where they were originating. And then Patty is what I would call a white witch and a friend of mine. And she's also a pretty good psychic, and she's a pretty good spirit medium. So I kind of wanted to bring Patty along as a second opinion, because I'm telling you, as you know, whenever two or more psychics are gathered, the more information you can get, the better, right? So with combining what Patty saw and what I saw, and they're always two different things. Like we'll each see certain things, but then the other one sees more. So it's fun. If you get four or five psychics, there's no telling what kind of information you can get, because everybody sees something different. So I wanted to bring Patty along for her different perspective. Mm-hmm. And as a white witch, she sees everything as, I see it as very cut and dry. She sees it as magical. Mm-hmm. And there's the difference between us.
So we had that perspective. And now obviously this is coming from a very spiritual realm of things. And though I was hugely interested in what they would bring to the mix, you always have to go, well, I don't know, how tangible will that feel to me? How can I prove what they're experiencing if I don't have their ability? Now, I have to tell you, what they did was absolutely remarkable. And as you listen, you'll hear how it was validated in many ways, in a much more, I don't know, quote-unquote tangible way. Now we're going to turn to Chris Turner, who comes from a completely different school of thought, and which was why we wanted to have more than one opinion investigating. And you need to understand, these two teams were aware that there would be two investigative teams. They had no prior knowledge in terms of relationship to each other. They had not met before, and they did not meet until both teams had completed their investigations, and we ultimately did a roundtable reveal at the end. So we're going to turn it over to Chris Turner, who's going to explain the members, talk a little bit about the members of his team, their process, and my interest in them was because they come from this science-based background. And when I was doing the research for the continuing series, and also even prior to that, when we started to have our own experiences in the house, a friend of mine said, oh, you should watch this show, which I'm not going to name, but you can figure it out. You should watch this show because it's not that exciting, but that's what makes it so interesting, that it's a paranormal investigative show where very little happens, but when it does, you don't have a sense that they're dramatizing it for you. And indeed, I got hooked on it. And I found Chris because he is in some ways affiliated with this production. And I'm going to let him talk to you a little bit about their methodology and the members of their team.
Good morning, or good afternoon, girls.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you guys again.
You too.
It's been quite a while. The team base, fundamental basis that we operate off of is a scientific fundamental platform. I personally have been in the paranormal community for about eight and a half years, and any opportunity I have to incorporate outside sources to find a resolution, I completely welcome those type of tools. So getting to the team is basically, like Kathleen was saying, is we investigate and we try to gather tangible information.
Or disprove, right? I mean, the objective is probably first and foremost, and my experience with you, was really to debunk, to come with your gadgets and gizmos and you know, temperature readings and electromagnetic field things. You well, can talk I mean, about those devices, but there to try to figure out, is there a plausible, rational explanation before we jump to any conclusion that there's anything paranormal in
this? I mean, even before we even showed up, I believe you filled out a questionnaire.
Yeah, let me talk about that a second. There's an extensive questionnaire, and we're talking essay, not multiple choice,
fill in
the blank. It's, you know, give us a long-form answer to these questions that get incredibly personal and invasive. Mm-hmm. Because, and you can tell they're trying to get a psychological profile of the members of the household and the house. And like I said, we had been through some dramatic things with this brain tumor, so they were allowed to go, well, she's, you know, her brain is just fuddled from this experience, and he can share what his initial impression was, and I won't be offended, Chris.
So no, go ahead. Initially when we went over the preliminary questionnaire, it was rather in depth, but there was quite a few key notes that stood out in this case, and that was, of course, the children and the psychological development, where they can perceive actions and activities. Mm-hmm. That was one of the driving forces in us coming out. Mm-hmm. Also, the type of activity that was being reported. I mean, it was just you had written a paragraph. So you have written a paragraph, and it was quite interesting. So with the children experiencing that stuff, we definitely have to come out and see for ourselves that everything's okay. So actually, once we reviewed the preliminary questionnaire, we scheduled a time for you, and we came out and we actually did a walkthrough where we interviewed yourself.
So it's this process. You do this long questionnaire, then they come and they meet you in person. They set up some skeleton equipment, right? No pun intended, to see if maybe they catch anything in that first walkthrough. But more to kind of assess the energy of the home and the people, and is this worth our time? I'm assuming is the...
Yeah, well, what's very interesting is that we're trying to find possible anomalies that can coincide with your claim on the preliminary questionnaire. But what's really important is we actually get a face-to-face meet and greet. We can see you. We can see the type of home, see if you're clean. We can see how the condition of the children are. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then once we evaluate what we find there, any anomalies and stuff like that, we create walkthrough notes, which are pretty extensive. I mean, they capture any anomalies in the house, any irregular activity, personal from the client and not, you know, from the client, anything that we get while we're doing the walkthrough. So that all gets compiled into our walkthrough notes, which we later is part of our reveal package. Mm-hmm. But it also, the reason why we create the walkthrough pack or the walkthrough notes is because it allows the other investigators that are going to arrive at the house, it gives them an assessment of what we captured as far as notes and anything else that they may need to base their investigative tactics off of. So that's why I created the process with the walkthrough notes, because typically when we do a walkthrough, it's usually a lead investigator and just a regular investigator. So the rest of the team usually shows up on the investigation date. So instead of just having secondhand, you know, word of mouth, we have it all in nice form so they can review the whole case and everything before they come in.
And let's talk a little bit about the tools of the trade for you. What do you use on the average investigation? Because they showed up with all these gadgets and gizmos, and I'm thinking, cool. And it was fascinating to watch how they were used and to watch how some things that I kind of had high expectations for kind of fell flat for me, and then things that I would have been dismissive of were the most mind-blowing things like flashlights. So can you talk a little bit about some of the tools that you use on the average investigation?
You know, you'll see the same basic tools used throughout the, you know, the paranormal community. And, you know, they say they invent some of these tools for paranormal investigating, but at this point in time, scientifically, we really don't have a lot of answers of what we're measuring, what kind of energy, how it transfers, how it dissipates. I mean, it's still basically infant stages. So a majority of the tools that we have usually are just measurement type of tools. They measure any type of electrical current, anomaly, stuff like that. And then we can build our investigative sessions off of what we get from those devices. But all in all, I mean, there are some devices that they say are made specifically for paranormal investigating, but from, you know, from the years that I've been, I haven't really seen anything that absolutely has worked 100%, you know. And that's what's tricky about paranormal investigating, because you could sit in a room for 4 or 5 hours, you go to leave, and that's when stuff happens.
But
you
if you were to advise a paranormal enthusiast who wants to organize their first investigation, would you say you can stick to the basics, the flashlights, the EMF readers, what are they called? The not to buy into like the gimmicks of the ghost hunting packages and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So if you were telling someone who was trying this for the first time and they needed, you know, just three basic tools, what are the top tools you would recommend having?
That's a really great question, because I always bring that up in the panels that we do. And people always overlook, but the number one investigative tool that you can get is yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you, by yourself, have to interact with the client. You have to communicate clearly. You have to do a lot of other things. So I always tell new investigators, find your niche, find your style, but you have to develop a pretty fluent personality in this paranormal investigating. So basically, the investigator is the number one tool, all hands down. And then after you develop your niche and your style and your credibility, then you can go and purchase devices that can actually capture evidence, because that's where we're at.
But what are we talking about? Just basic audio recorders, recorders.
Well, I'm thinking a digital recorder. Mm-hmm. That you could go to Walmart or anywhere like that and just buy.
This is not a plug for Walmart.
Sorry. You can cut that. Digital recorders or a camcorder. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that could provide evidence to the client. Mm-hmm. That I have a lot of cases that, you know, the client will say things are happening and their spouse will say, oh, it's not happening, you know, until you see on video. It's some people need to see it, you know, firsthand to believe what's actually going on. So I would say the first thing would be the investigator, definitely, and then get something to document the anomalies. And that would be a digital recorder or a camcorder.
Or both.
Both.
And EMF detectors and thermometers, we used those on the investigation you did, and there were some compelling results. How important do you think those are?
Those are pretty important to the fact that they can measure any type of anomaly, so it can kind of point you to the direction of, you know, in the direction that you might want to go as far as how you want to approach the investigation session. But, I mean, there's so many gadgets out there and everything. It's just, I would start with those three and then just see what tools work for you. Because some people can't do the flashlight. Some people can't do the EMF detectors. Some people can't do the camcorders, but they're excellent. There's people on my team that are excellent with audio. And that's not my gig. I do video.
How many hours would you say you spend on the average investigation from the prelim to the investigation itself to all of the time? I know there's a tremendous amount of time spent in post reviewing these materials to doing the reveal. Average investigation is how many hours?
A typical walkthrough is about 2 hours.
No, if you had to put it all together for us, instead of breaking it down.
I'm trying to do an equation.
Yeah,
awesome. So a walkthrough is about 2 hours. Investigation is about 6, so you got about 8 there. And then you have about 6 hours of video. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have 6 hours of audio times how many pieces of equipment, recording equipment you have. So you can get up to 40 hours of stuff.
And then you have a historian who's also spending God knows how many hours.
Absolutely.
So now you've met the team. Tune in next week when we bring in special guest Patty Negri. She's a real witch, folks. She'll be joined with our usual Pamela Beatty, and they'll discuss their investigation of the house. Don't miss it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.